Well, we've been seeking the Lord and praying about some things, that I heard last week when Pastor John was preaching here. And there's some things that have been stirring in my spirit, and I'm going to kind of take off a little bit from what Pastor John preached on last week, because it's been stirring around in my spirit about some of the things I believe the Lord wants to say to us. And I believe that today we're living in a day that the enemy is attempting to break up family. The enemy is attempting to destroy families. The enemy is attempting to get his agenda on the earth. And one of the ways that he does that is to strip the family of credibility. And I believe that God wants us to make sure that we are positioned properly in order to see that families are made whole. In the name of Jesus. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
Think that's what the Lord is saying today? Yeah, and so we want to look at a few things that I believe that'll help us. Not only when we look to our personal families, but also the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ should be a demonstration of family upon the earth. And so we just thank God for that. And speaking of family, I'm going to welcome my brother Frank from Alberta. Just wave real high. He doesn't look nearly as good as me, but he's here anyway. He might have something to say about that, but anyway. Not much. Yeah. Thank you, God. Well, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to hear what he has to say to us today. Lord, we thank you so much for your holy, written, and anointed word. Your word is powerful, God, and we thank you that your word releases life to us. We thank you that as we read and hear your word, that life is imparted to our spirits and affects every part of our being. And God, we ask for that we might have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us this day, so that we'd know how to walk properly in the way that you have for us. And God, as we in tune our ears to hear you, we have great expectation that the words that we hear will transform us, will help us along the journey of transformation. We're believers, Lord. We believe your word, and we receive your word this day. Say this with me. Father, thank you now for ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to me today. Now, I want to reiterate again, as I say often, that I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you and through the preaching of the Word, but not only through the preaching of the Word. The Holy Spirit may speak to you about something totally different than what comes out of my mouth. He might have something to say to you that comes up deep within your spirit and speak to you about something that he wants to say to you. And don't be looking for something that you not necessarily have to correct all the time. Although we do have to be honest and say, Lord, if you're asking us to correct something, we want to hear about it. But sometimes just flat out say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And expect also to hear things like, I'm proud of you. I love you. I'm so glad that you're my child. You know, he speaks those things to us as well. He certainly speaks these words of encouragement to us. And we need words of encouragement, don't we? I do. We need words of encouragement. So expect him to hear when you say, Lord, what are you saying? Do you want to say to me this morning? What is it that you want to speak to me about? And I want to suggest to you that whenever you ask the Lord, I just have a sense in my spirit sometimes that some people are afraid to ask the Lord what he wants to say to you, because you live in a place of condemnation and you feel like, well, it's going to be a word of condemnation and I can't really bear it. But no, that's not the way the Lord, our daddy, deals with us. He wants to speak to us life, good things. Let us know that we are the apple of his eye, that he loves us, he cares about us, and that he wants to share a life with us. So as you say that, Lord, what are you saying to me? Expect to hear some good stuff. Now, I'll tell you, I'll have to be honest with you. When I get before the Lord, and I do this from time to time, and quite often, and I do it often in my prayer life, but sometimes I'll sit down by my computer and say, Lord, what is it that you want to say to me now? And so I begin to start there typing what comes to my mind. And I will say this, when I say that to the Lord, when I say, what do you want me to say to me this morning, I expect to hear an encouraging word. I don't expect to hear condemnation. I expect to hear an encouraging word. Why? Because he's my King, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, he's my Father, but he's also my Daddy. And I know that. And so I expect him to say something encouraging to me. And so when we set ourselves to hear the word of the Lord, put our faith antennas up to hear some good things. I mean, that's what prophecy is all about. Doesn't it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says that the prophetic word, the prophecy, is about exhortation, about encouragement, about receiving something that will bring life into our very being. So God, I pray, Father, this morning that what we hear might be encouraging to us today in the name of Jesus. One of the phrases that stuck in my spirit this week when Pastor John was speaking last week was, what you value, you attract. What you value, you attract. It just seemed like I couldn't get away from that all week. What you value, you attract. And I started thinking about that and thinking about some things in Scripture about that being fulfilled. And I've seen a number of places. What you value, you attract. And the more I meditated on it, the more I thought about how sometimes we attract something because of what we value, but sometimes it comes to us in a way that we don't necessarily want it. But the principle is basically the same. We attract what we value. No matter whether it comes in the way we want or not, we attract what we value. In other words, when we put a lot of value on something, we end up doing things that will attract that to us. It will bring us home. Now, we're going to read a scripture here that may be kind of different when it comes to attracting things, attracting what we value. But a few points I want to make out in this, and I want to show you how powerful this principle is, how we attract what we value. And it is from the book of Acts. It's not the greatest story you want to read in the book of Acts, but it is there, and it's there to speak to us today. And it's about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Now, if we were to go back to Acts chapter 4, just the last verse of Acts chapter 4 tells us about Barnabas, who went about and he sold some land, and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He gave it to the church. And if we were to read there, we would see that it seemed like a number of people were doing that. And so Barnabas, he was an encourager, and so he had some extra land, he sold it, and he brought it to the apostles. And then we read about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for you, for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? In other words, you had the land, it was yours. After you sold and got the money was in, you had control of it as well. So why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Now you see, the lie was that he was coming and presenting it, all the money, but he kept back some of it. He said that he sold this land, he got this much money. It's like saying, you know, I sold some property, I got $100,000 for it, and I'm bringing all the money to the church. But really, he sold the property and he got $200,000 for it. But he said, no, I'm only bringing $100,000. I'm only bringing $100,000. He said that in his heart. So Peter said, you have not lied to men, but to God. You have not lied to men, but to God. Verse 5, then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard those things. And the young man arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. And we could go on and read what happened to his wife as well. But the question I want to ask here is, what were Ananias and Sapphira after? What was it that they were looking for? What was it that Ananias and Sapphira were after that they were... They were willing to lie to men and women of God, lie to the church, lie to the Holy Spirit, in fact. That's what the Bible says. Well, I want to suggest to you there was one thing that they were looking for. Now, notice, think back a little bit now, again, in Acts chapter 4, when Barnabas was there and other people were giving to the church. Now, obviously, there were some people mentioned. They give so much that they were mentioned in the book of Acts. Barnabas, of course, being one of them. So here, Ananias and Sapphira were watching this. Now, I'm convinced what they were looking for was fame. They were looking to be recognized. They were looking for notoriety. They were looking to be somebody amongst the church. They were looking to be noticed amongst the church in Jerusalem. And so they did that. I mean, that would be the only reason why you would do that. In other words, if you weren't looking for that, then why would you say that you were bringing it all when you're only bringing half of it? You're only bringing part of it. No, they were looking. They were wanted to present themselves as somebody in the church so they could come in on Sunday morning and walk up and just, you know, have their head up high and sit in the best place and so forth. They wanted notoriety. Now, I want to ask you this question. In this example that we give here, did they get notoriety? Did they attract notoriety? Everybody who's ever read the Bible all over the world knows about Ananias and Sapphira. They got what they valued. They valued notoriety. And they schemed us this deal to keep, obviously they have had a love of money too, to keep this money back in order to gain notoriety. And they attracted it, and everybody all over the world now reads about the people who lied to the Holy Spirit and fell dead. That should speak pretty strongly to us when it comes to some of the things that we do and some of the things. Like, I'm really concerned about people who pretend to be something that they're not, especially in the church. You might get away with it in the world for a while, but especially in the church. The day is coming, the Holy Spirit is going to say, enough is enough. Now things are going to be revealed. I think it's really important for us to walk uprightly before God and not try to pretend to be something that we're not. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Now, these people, Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted notoriety. And whenever I was reading that, I was taught of the verse in John 12:42 that the Bible says that many among the rulers believed on Jesus, but would not confess him because why? They loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. And that's, I believe, Ananias and Sapphira were in that place. They were more concerned about what man thought of them than what God thought about them. And so they were willing to step out and do something that got them in deep, deep trouble. And they got what they were after to one degree. They got notoriety. Everybody reads the Bible all around the world now. They look and they read the story about Ananias and Sapphira. Can you think of somebody else that got notoriety in the scriptures? Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Jesus was in a house of Simon the leper, and as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the vase and poured it over his head. In verse 9, you know, she was considered criticized for doing such a thing because they said she wasted all this money and so forth. And verse 9 says, Jesus said, assuredly, now Jesus, the master, said this, I say to you, whenever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. She got notoriety too, didn't she? All over the world, she sacrificed something in order to get notoriety all over the world. Ananias and Sapphira, they brought the money, they made a sacrifice with ulterior motives. They got notoriety all over the world as well, but this woman did it the right way. She valued the presence of God, so she was willing to sacrifice. She valued the presence so much that she was given, she no doubt given, the greatest treasure that she had, to the point that she was criticized and said, "You're foolish pouring this all this oil out, all of this valuable oil out on Jesus." And Jesus rebuked them all and said, actually, one of the rewards that she got for obeying, or her heart's cry, was to be her story to be told all over the world. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that lady was led of the Lord to anoint Jesus? Do you think that lady, did she just come up with a good idea? Did she just wake up someday and say, "Well, you know, I think I have this treasure, and I think I'd like to give it to Jesus, and I think it would be a good thing"? I don't know, the way I read the Bible, the way I read that situation there, the Holy Spirit got all over her. And she had a choice. Here was this expensive ointment. Here was this expensive thing that she had, and she was called to sacrifices, to pour it out on the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was willing to be moved by what she heard in her heart. And because of that, she had attained great fame and notoriety. But she was willing to obey the voice of the Lord. And I believe one of the things that the church must learn to do is to obey, first hear the voice of the Lord, but then obey the voice of the Lord. And I'm amongst the people who say, "Lord, let me hear your voice. Let me understand your ways. Let me get a sense of the things that you're calling me to do, because I do not want to miss the things that you're calling me to do." Who knows? It could have great significance. Like the lady, when she poured the oil on Jesus, she was actually anointing Jesus for burial. That was pretty important. That was awesome. Who knows? It could be something. It could be lead to something like that. When we obey the voice of the Lord our God. She wasn't looking to be praised. She was looking to obey the voice of the Lord. This woman was attracted to the presence of Jesus and ended up with much more. Many times we say that we value things, but we really only show what we value by our actions. You see, this is the thing. I believe, do you ever feel that you've been self-deceived? Yeah, you don't have to put your hand up. I'll put mine, both of them up. Because I have. I've been self-deceived about situations in life. When I look back, some of the things that I wanted so much, and I wanted them so badly, and I was praying for them, and I deceived myself in the thinking that that's what God wanted for me. Sometimes that can happen. When our heart is not right before God, we can pray through an idol. We can ask God for something that has become an idol in us. And when we pray through an idol, our prayers become polluted with the desires of our hearts, not desires that God has put in there. In other words, I prayed for all kinds of things sometimes in the past, years ago especially, that I thought God wanted me to do, that I thought God wanted for me, and really these things were huge in my life, and I felt I needed them, but God had a different way, because he wanted to teach me something by going through something. We often pray to get out of situations that God wants to teach us something by going through them. Now, I don't like tests and trials. I mean, it's a drag. I love talking about faith things that happened in my life, some faith promises, like the time that Debbie and I were looking for a place to live and we didn't have any place to go, and eventually through a set of circumstances we got a house that we for $1 a year that we lived in for 15 years, $1 a year. That was a supernatural event, and we were praying and believing God for it and going through all kinds of things, and man, after we finally get in the house and got settled in, I was rejoicing and praising and just so glad and happy, and it was just so fun at different times to be able to tell about that story. But I want you to know it was no fun going through it. I want you to know when you're going through the process, when you're believing God for something and things are tough and it seems like the time factor is coming pretty close or something's got to happen, it can be really tough going through it. And I believe it's through that toughness, through that experience, through that difficult time that we are really refined, where God is revealing just exactly what is in there. And sometimes it's not always great. I remember one time Debbie and I were, I forget what the situation was. I forget what it was now, but I can still remember this. Debbie and I were talking and Debbie said, well, you know, this was just a test. And I looked at her, I said, yes, I know, but we failed the test. Whatever we did, we failed the test. We didn't do the right thing in that situation. Sometimes we miss it. But don't you thank God for his grace? Oh, but for the grace of God, where would we be? We miss it, but sometimes we go back to God and say, God, get us back on track. Get us back on track so that we can walk with you in purity and holiness. God reveals what's really on our heart. And we can, like he knows what's on our heart. Sometimes we don't. But one of the ways that we can understand what's on our heart, what we really value in our heart, is by our actions. What do we see ourselves doing? What do we see giving? What do we give ourselves to? What do we sacrifice to gain? Those are the things that we really find value in our hearts. Remember in Mark chapter 5, the woman who was with the issue of blood, and she was going to Jesus, and she's walking behind Jesus, and she wasn't supposed to even be out in the open, but yet she was pushing in toward Jesus. She was pushing in because she needed healing for her body. She valued healing for her body. That was her focus because it was damaging in her life. It was ruining her life, this disease that she couldn't get rid of. So she was willing to come out in the open against all the religious tradition, and she reached out and touched Jesus, and she was healed. When she touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. But she valued her healing so much that she was willing to be ridiculed. She was willing to step outside religious norm and touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was healed. She valued her healing so much, she worked toward it until she received it. In fact, she attracted her healing by what she did. She pressed through the crowd, the Bible said, to reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And so she was pressing through to what she valued the most. What you value, you attract. What you value, you attract. So what is it that you really value? This is an important question because in Matthew chapter 6, it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure? What do you treasure in your life? That's a good indication of where your heart is. Do you treasure? Okay, it's Friday night. This is a good night. I've been waiting all week. I'm going to buy my munchy foods, and there's this movie I want to watch, and this is what I want to do. I'm going to prepare myself because this is what I'm looking for all week. Watch this show. I'm not saying that's bad, but I am saying this. You attract what you value, and you prepare to receive the things you value. You prepare to receive the things you value. But we must make a choice. What are the things that we value? What are the things that we value? I want you to know something that God values. God values you. God thinks, he sees the end from the beginning, so he sees you fully mature. He sees you as righteous and holy before him. Why does he see you as righteous and holy before him? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has bestowed upon us his righteousness and his holiness. That's what he sees. He sees you as an individual that has a heart after God. You see, the born-again individual in you, the born-again spirit in you, has a heart after God. The born-again spirit on the inside of you doesn't want to do wrong. The born-again spirit on the inside of you wants to fellowship with God, wants to do the right thing, wants to enjoy life in God. And God values blessing you. God desires to bless you. And the greatest place that we can receive blessing is walking completely in the will of God. Not our own will, but his will. I remember years ago when I was just starting out in Christianity, and I decided that, okay, Lord, I don't really know what is going to make me happy in life. I'm not one of these things, persons who have a great desire to do this or that, but serve you. So I don't really know what's going to bring me the greatest joy in life. So, Lord, I'm going to make a decision now to do whatever you decide to do, or to say, whatever you just tell me to do, I'm going to make a decision to do it because I believe that you have my best interests at heart. Now ask yourself, do you believe that God has your best interests at heart? Now, not only for eternity, but now, where you're living, in your family, do you believe that God has your best interest at heart? So if you do, then you believe in walking in His ways is going to bring you to the greatest fulfillment of life that you could ever possibly have. His ways. His ways. So I said, Lord, I'm going to bow to what I believe you are telling me to do. I'm going to bow my knee and obey whatever I see in the Word of God that you're telling me to do. I'm going to do it. I am going to set myself to a place of being released in the Spirit that way. And this is coming up in my spirit right now. But I remember one of the things that I was reading in Spirit, because I was so thrilled with God, and when the Holy Spirit moved upon me to, I can still remember this to this day. I was farming at the time, and I was so overcome at times with the presence of God that I can still remember driving down the road in this John Deere tractor, and thank God there was a cab on and everything. I was just so happy to be in the Lord. I just started shouting within the cab and just singing to the Lord and praising Him because I was just so thrilled of His presence. I was experiencing something that I had never experienced before. I was just so, it was just affected every part of my being. And so because of knowing Him, I said, Lord, I'm going to do the things that you want me to do. Whatever I see in your word, and I just wanted to thank Him. It seems that I didn't have enough ways to thank the Lord. And then I seen in the scripture that the Lord is saying, lift up holy hands toward the Lord and pray for government, and lift up hands to worship Him. And I thought, oh my goodness, what is that all about? What is that all about? Lift up holy hands. And I began reading in scripture, and I remember being at a full gospel businessman's fellowship meeting in Summerside back then, and that was the only kind of thing that first time I'd ever seen anything kind of charismatic. And I remember people lifting up their hands, and I thought, Lord, what are they doing? And what is this about? And I thought, Lord, I want to be open to you. I don't want to hold anything back. So I tried to, and it just seemed his hand wouldn't go up. And it took me a while before I was able to really put them up. But you know what I did? Now listen to this, because this is a lesson in faith. That I decided that the Word of God says that we are to worship. That's one of the ways to worship Him, was lifting up holy hands before Him. And because the Word of God said, I said, Lord, by faith, I'm going to do this, although every part of my being saying this is stupid, this is foolish, and all the rest of it. I did it by faith. But I noticed something. After a while, I began to get lost in worship. And it wasn't difficult at all. In fact, you know, a short time after, when I began to worship God, automatically my hands would go up before the Lord. And I can still remember at that particular meeting, a man was there, and I was standing next to him, and he was like this, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm standing here. Well, you told him, you thanked him. How many times are you going to tell him you thanked him? That seems so foolish to me. And then, see, you can learn something by being around people who are passionate for God. And I began to say, Lord, I thank you, God. I started thinking, I said, well, I'll just think of a number of different things to thank Him for. So I won't have to be always saying, thank you, Jesus. But now, it's so easy to say that. You see, the flesh is conditioned to keep us away from God. The flesh is conditioned to war against the Spirit. And the Spirit wars against the flesh. The flesh wants to keep us from the walking in the fullness of what God has called us to. And the Bible says that this flesh is supposed to be put to death on the cross. Jesus did it for us. And now that our spirit being can open up wide on the inside and be able to be released from Him. So what we value is important, because what we value, we attract. So we have to ask ourselves that question. What is it that we value? What do you value? It'd be good for us to write that down. And, you know, in the time of prayer, Lord, what is it that I really value? And then write it down. And notice that if you value something, and this may be the case, we might say, okay, I value that, but you know, I don't think that's going to fit in heaven. I don't think that's going to fit in the kingdom of God. That value that I have, I don't think it's going to fit in the kingdom of God. Then you can change your value. You can make a shift. You can change your value. And if you will shift it toward the things of the kingdom of God, and you begin to work toward it, it will become more valuable to you. And that's where your heart will be. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You demonstrate where your heart is by the actions that you take, not necessarily by what you say. You demonstrate what you value by your actions. You demonstrate what you value by your actions. Well, Pastor, I value to be debt-free. That is a big value of mine. That is a big goal of mine. I value that a lot, and I want to be debt-free. Well, then, if that's what you say, and then you decide that you need a new house, the house that you live in is, you can't get along with it. So you want that house. You want to work toward that house. Or a new car. You value a new car, where the one that you have, you could get by with. Well, then, if you go ahead and get that new house, you go ahead and get that new car, then you value that over being debt-free. See, your actions indicate what you really value. Your actions indicate what you've set your heart on. So think about some of the things that you do. You know, there's a saying, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And you can never fool God. He knows exactly where our heart is. Our value. Jesus, I thank you, God. Yes, Holy Spirit. Now, well, you must make the connection with the kingdom of God and the things that you value in your heart. You must make that connection with the things that you have in your heart and the things of the kingdom of God. Because the things of this world that you have your heart set upon is not going to make it into heaven. And God wants you to set your heart on things that are eternal, things that are everlasting, things that are eternal. The kingdom of God is like a jewel merchant on the hunt for excellent pearls. Finding one that is flawless, he immediately sells everything and buys it. This merchant knew the thing that he valued. He valued a flawless pearl. He valued excellent pearls. So he set his heart upon getting that pearl. And he was involved in the thing that he valued the most. He was involved, you say, involved in the industry that he valued the most. He was looking for excellent pearls. It wasn't that just one day he spotted the pearl, and then he decided that he's going to sell all he had and buy it. No, he was in the industry. He was looking. He was gathering to him excellent pearls. And then that path that he was on led him to the flawless one. It attracted him to the flawless one, and it attracted that pearl to him. And he sold all that he have and bought the flawless one. You see, whatever you value, you better be involved in it. Did you hear what I said? Whatever you value, you better be involved and engaged in it. And you might say, well, I can't really, I value this particular thing, this particular avenue of work, but you know, it's so far away, I'm kind of doing this other thing right now. Well, you better get involved in what you value, because your involvement will attract what you value. Your involvement, the things that you do, will attract what you value. I just feel as there's a prophetic word coming and I'm just kind of stalling. Because Jesus, we don't want... You know, when somebody stands up in a service sometimes and they are... We've had it. Pastor John, you'd certainly know this. From time to time, you've had maybe some person very new will jump up and give a prophetic word in the church. And it's almost like they're interrupting you. And they are. I mean, you just don't do that. We were meeting a bunch of ministers the other day, and I was talking, and all of a sudden the prophetic word started coming out. And as I was speaking it out, I said after... You know, I said something about before I was interrupted, and I said, Holy Spirit, you can interrupt me anytime. You can interrupt me anytime. I just have a sense that there's some more things I want to say here, but I sense that the Holy Spirit's just interrupting right now. And I want him to interrupt. And I don't care if we were just sit here for the rest of the service. I want to yield to the Holy Spirit. You say what you want to say, Lord. You say what you want to say. Jesus. Lela babo shite la baba. Lendo kosondo la mandesite. La bara soto la mando shite. Esete la kokolo babesite la baba. Indeberesite la baba. Sondo la mando shite. Solo babo shite. I have said that if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you will value the presence of God, the presence of God will overflow upon you and come into you in ways that you have yet to experience. For the Spirit of God comes and desires to be honored. The Spirit of God comes in places that he is honored. The Spirit of God comes where he is valued. Where everything stops because the presence comes. The Spirit of God will release life to you as you are in tune to me and I to you. For Jesus declared that I will live in you and you will live in me and together we will live together. And great things will be accomplished because of your obedience to my word and to my presence. Because you are attracted by the presence of God. But know this, I am attracted to you because I have placed something on the inside of you that gets my attention, says the Lord. I have placed something on the inside of you that causes me to stop and hear what is being said from my creation. For all creation speaks to me, says the Lord, and I stop and listen to hear the response of my word that goes forth. Because as my word goes forth and life is imparted, so that life has a response that comes back to me. And together we go through this journey of life. And throughout eternity you will begin to understand the ways of God. But I have some things for you to walk in even while you're here on this planet, on this earth. I have some places for you to go, some things for you to say, some things that other people need to hear so that they will know about me, says the Lord. So that they'll know about the way I understand things. And I will bring liberty to many, says the Lord God Almighty, as you learn to walk in the freedom of the Lord. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So know this, even as you value my presence, I will enter into that presence in your life that will change everything. Because where I am, everything changes, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Caleb, there's some things that are going to be shifted in your life. In 2018, the Lord is going to speak to you. And some of the path that you're on right now, I sense the Lord is going to say some things to you that's going to shift gears a little bit, and you're going to end up going in a direction that you never thought of before. But it's going to be him. It'll come to your mind as you pray. But as you pray and seek after him, the Lord will begin to show you some things that will open some doors for you. And then you'll look back and you'll wonder, should I open, should I walk through that door or should I, should not? But you remember this and you'll say, no, this is the door. This is the door I'm to walk into. And God will show you the destiny that he has for your life. This is a little bit different this morning, but I endeavor to obey the Holy Spirit. Make the connection between the natural and the supernatural. You'll notice that that's a word that was spoken. Well, we have it in our bulletin. Make the connection between the natural and the supernatural. You've heard this before when Debbie and I were praying many years ago. We were praying together and out of my mouth came a prophetic word. And part of the word was, be careful to make the connection between the natural and the supernatural. And I meditated over that for years and wondered, what does all that mean? Some of it was kind of obvious, but other things were not. And I'm convinced more than ever that the Lord is saying, what we hear in the Spirit, what we receive in the Spirit, has to be connected to the natural in order for it to be profitable down here. What do I mean by that? What we hear in the Spirit, what could we say when we hear in the Spirit? Well, when we're praying, when we set ourselves apart to pray, when we set ourselves apart to seek God, that's a good time to hear something in the Spirit. It's a good time. But until we put what we've learned in that time of prayer into action, we haven't made the connection. The connection must be made. Just to give you a demonstration of a connection in the Spirit that's made that you don't want is when a spirit of fear tries to come upon you. When a spirit of fear tries to get you to respond to it, it has made the connection. It's made the connection. When you, if you were to go to a doctor's office and suddenly there was a spot somewhere and the doctor said, we better check that out. I think it kind of looks cancerous. A spirit of fear is ready to get on you, to tell you that you're going to die and all the rest of it. And you can go home absolutely worried and threatened, and you just, you know, just all upset because of what has happened. Well, that spirit of fear has made the connection then in the natural. And it is accomplishing what it wants to do. But when you hear that any kind of report, you might say, well, Father, I thank you. As soon as you hear it, you discipline yourself and you think, well, God, I thank you that you're the one who keeps me healthy. You're the one who has paid the price of my body could be totally healed. You're the one who has touched my body and I know that I'm safe in your hands. Well, you cut off that influence so that spirit of fear cannot make the connection in the natural. But God has so many good things about us. If I say to Karen, I want you to know that God loves you, that God cares about you, that God, you're his treasure, you're his pearl. And because of maybe Karen's background, some of the things that she has dealt with in life and so forth, maybe some of those things are hard to receive. Hard to receive that she's righteous. A lot of people are hard to receive that she's righteous. Well, then she hasn't made the connection. It's true. The word is true that she's righteous. The word is true. Because Jesus said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who had no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So in fact, she is righteous. But yet, she has a hard time to see her righteous. Maybe, you know, a great aunt told her she was no good and never will be any good. And that could end her spirit. So she can't receive that area of righteousness. So the God way of dealing with that is seeing that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:21, seeing where I've been made the righteousness of God in him, and then begin to act in a righteous fashion and to see herself righteous. In other words, she can lay in bed at night and say, God, I thank you that I am righteous. You have made me holy. You have made me a saint of God because Jesus did it for me. Because of Jesus' righteousness, I can now declare I'm righteous and I can enter into the very throne room of God and pray and find help in time of need. We can receive that by faith. And if you will stand in that long enough, then she'll begin to feel righteous. She'll begin to feel the head like she's the head and not the tail. She's above only and not beneath. She'll begin to feel that she has right standing with God. And that's what really righteousness is having right standing with God. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today to begin walking in His Word in a new way, in a brand new way. Glory to Jesus. Well, there's one thing I want to say to you today. I want to end this with this. You value what you attract. You value what you attract. There's so many other things that we could have mentioned in that, but just we value what we attract. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You value what you attract. So what I want you to ask yourself this week is, what do I truly value? What is it that I truly value? What action will I do this week to demonstrate what I value? What action is it that you're going to do this week? First of all, you're going to ask yourself, what do I truly value? Second, what am I going to do to demonstrate that I value that? I'm trying to get us to make the connection here in the natural. So what is it that I value? And what will I do? What action will I do this week to demonstrate that I value it? That may mean that you will give up something of lesser value in order to attract that which you really value. It may be a TV program. It may be something else of lesser value that you don't have to do. What am I going to give up to show that I value this thing that I have on my heart? There's something else that I want us to do. I believe one of the major issues in Christianity today is a lack of understanding or reading or studying the Word of God. I believe that because I talk to people all the time, and some of the things that come out of their mouth, I say, have you read your Bible? We need the Word of God. I want us as a church to begin something this week. And I know I'm challenging us, and it's not a big deal. It should come really easy. I want us to read a chapter of the Gospel of John every day this week. You think we can do that as a church? Read a chapter of the Gospel of John every day this week. A chapter of the Gospel of John. And then, what the Lord speaks to you, ask Him what it is that He wants to say to you through that chapter. And then decide what you got to do to demonstrate it. Decide what you got to do to demonstrate it. Whatever that might be. In order to be able to make the connection. Well, stand with me, please. Do you notice there's a even in our service this morning, it's different. There's a quietness that is a bit unusual. There's a depth in that quietness. There's a depth. When Elijah wanted to hear from God, there was all kinds of noises and that happened and things, all kinds of things took place. But it was in the still small voice that he heard the Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you speak to us right now, God, wherever we're at. Speak a word to us, Lord, that Jesus would be exalted. We want to say that we exalt you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the Savior that we need. And we thank you for your presence right now. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to move forward, God, to make that connection so that the things of the Spirit will actually not fall to the ground, but there'll be a connection made so that they'll be profitable to us in this realm, so that we might be able to use these things that we get in the Spirit in order to make Jesus known, in order to expand His influence upon the earth, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for your ability to do that in each and every one of us, in Jesus' name.